This is your classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and it's been a couple of weeks, but he's back on your radio. It's John Letts, my horse racing expert. How are you this morning, John?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Jordan. Fresh and ready to go, and this morning we'll be jumping on the plane and going to Sojourner, which we had the cancelled meeting in December, of course, the Christmas one, but we have got the one back on board tomorrow at Sojourner, and it's good nominations, and should be a great day there. Great night tonight at the Foreshore Hotel. And a great day tomorrow at the races.
And what's the, I guess, the COVID restrictions going to be like for the race?
Well, they have got a permit for 1,000 people. I mean, they won't get 1,000 people there, but they have got a permit for 1,000 people. So that was good. That was actually passed a couple of weeks ago. So that was good. Yeah. So, and with people in the country areas like that, and you've got 14 corporate tents there, 15 corporate tents right along the front, and it's a place where I haven't seen people, shoulder to shoulder. Everybody sort of, there's plenty of room on the racetrack, and people just, well, there's always good space between them. And I think you'll find that a lot of people, not being derogatory to city people, but the country people do abide by the laws a little bit more, don't they? They take a bit more care. I think you'll find tomorrow.
And we do have we've just got a lot more space in the country to be able to social distance.
Exactly. That's what I'm coming at. We're not crowded into areas where they want to fill the place up. But we have got tomorrow. There's plenty of space there, and should be a great day there. And I think Nicola Ferrier and Stephen Marsh have done a great job here in South Australia. And I mean, there's a lot of problems around Australia at the moment with the COVID. I've got my thoughts on letting the planes in from overseas. I don't think they should have. And now there's another one. There's an American tennis player, Tennis Sandgren's, bound for Melbourne after testing positive for COVID-19 twice in the past 2 months. Monday. Now, how can they? What's wrong with Tennis Australia? Are they money hungry? Are they just want to? To me, Jordan, sport is, they're putting sport. All these sporting bodies are putting the sport in front of our health. It's the same at the cricket, same at the football, and now the tennis. And as we spoke, months back, one person can spread it. We can do a population if it goes through one person, then 50 people, then 200, then 600. Just lock it down for a while and just get rid of this thing. This could be with us forever, This is not something that's not like the flu. This is something that will be there forever. And I mean, the vaccines, I can understand people being a little bit wary. I'm a bit wary about the vaccine. Are you?
Well, I mean, it's something that's come about so fast, but I also understand that, some of the best minds in the world have been working very hard on it. It's just anything that is rushed through to, because I know the priority here is to just stamp out COVID-19 as quick as possible. And, you got America and the UK and even a lot of Europe just struggling with the virus. No doubt that they want to get any sort of magic cure as soon as they can. So I'm a bit hesitant, but I trust that our health officials have, done their research and due diligence and have given the tick of approval for something that is actually going to be effective.
Yeah, well, I want to have the one the Queen had.
Yeah. Or maybe, just spend millions of dollars, we all get the same cocktail that Donald Trump had when he got COVID.
Oh, Donald Trump. What about him at the moment? Look, bow out gracefully is my advice.
Yeah, if only.
He's going to be remembered for all the wrong things, isn't he?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, and just this last month of his presidency has been so tarnished. I don't know. And he's banned from social medias now because he just couldn't shut himself up and, wouldn't moderate himself a little bit more to not be so inspiring the wrong kind of people. Yeah,
he's going to be remembered for the wrong things, isn't he? I mean, he's out. So just go gracefully, and even his own party's turning against him. So, all you've got to do is read into that, don't you?
Yeah, I know. 10 Republicans decided to vote with the Democrats for the impeachment, and they didn't have to. The Democrats had the numbers already. So yes. it was just they decided, we want to show that we are done with this guy.
Yeah. Now, we're getting on to the tennis as well.
Yes.
We've got some wonderful players coming here, but the thing that disappoints me is a guy, I think he's got ability, but I did have ability, but is Bernard Tomic, that I read an article in the paper this morning. You most likely read it as you go through the day. He said he's in Doha, and he said, I risk flying here, my health, COVID's around, many sick, with many things that can go wrong. I'm risking my life, and I'm playing and competing, of course. I want to get there, otherwise I'll be hanging up my racket. I don't need to play tennis again. I've got enough money. This thing seems to have him, because you remember a couple of years ago when he said, I don't need to play tennis. I've got $10 million. I can sit at home and count. I mean, what is wrong with a guy that is money just...
Well, I mean, if he is to be believed, I feel like he never really had a passion for tennis. He was sort of just, he had the skill for it, so that's why he played it, and he never really cared too much about the sport. And, well, I mean, he's obviously had a lot of success in the game, so he can sit back on his laurels and just enjoy the money he's made. But, yeah, it's you know, there's other people who are way more passionate about the sport and put a lot more effort in and, you know, want to succeed, and then you get Tomic.
and a lot more ability.
Yeah.
And a lot more ability as well, because this is the thing is, and I mean, what is he in the world now? He's number about 100 and, well, about 100 and something is. So he once ranked 17 in the world, and he's now 228.
Yeah, he's let himself slip. But obviously, yep. It's not something that concerns him too much. Or maybe he's fallen down in the rankings, and now he's saying that, actually, I don't really care about it. So, you know, taking his ball and going home kind of thing.
What do you think about the tennis with Steve Smith at the moment? And I was reading an article in the paper and going through his finances. You know he's worth $23 million, allegedly worth $23 million?
As a cricketer? Well, geez. If only I had a bit more talent.
Jordan, I know there's sponsors out there, but where do they accumulate $23 million? And there's people on the street with a lot of ability as well, and there's a lot of cricketers out there with he's got outstanding ability. But the thing is, $23 million, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
And I know like a player like David Warner, he's got a lot of money tied up in real estate and stuff like that. He owns a lot of properties,
yep.
And
yep.
Yeah, they get a lot of money, and then they're able to, you know, put their money to good use to make more money.
But I really feel that, you know, with I love tennis, I love cricket, I love golf, and I love footy, and of course racing, but I just feel that as an Australian, and we are starting to really, I'd say, lose the plot a bit, because we had the underarm, we had the ball tampering, and now we've got the pitch with Steve Smith scratching. Now, why would you want to scratch the pitch ball with you?
Yeah, no, I only play B grade, but I can't imagine ever. And I know Australia were in a very tight position in that game, and they were just trying to do anything to get the win. But, you know, that's still, it may not be illegal, but it's still pretty dirty.
We're losing our credibility as a sporting nation here in Australia, and it's very sad. I mean, in racing, if you're caught doing any of those, on drug charges or pulling horses up, your penalties are severe. Your penalties are severe, and you say, right, you're out. And you can name trainers, you can name jockeys, and say, right, you're finished, because you've brought the game into disrepute. But these guys just seem to just get up on the television and say, I'm very sorry, I won't do it again. And of course, then they let them off. It just seems like sporting guys just seem to be able to do that in that field, in tennis and cricket and golf. And that, all they've got to do is get on the television, say, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. And everybody's supposed to forget it. But I don't think these three instances, these will stick with Australia till the end of the world. That's the ball tampering, the underarm, and this pitch business. I don't go along with the cheating side of it. That's, to me, if you're going to be a sportsman, that's what you are. You're a sportsman. You look at some of the greatest sportsmen in the world. These guys won't be remembered as some of the greatest sportsmen in the world. They will be all their life, and I think you'll agree with me, Hill. They'll be branded as cheats forever, won't they?
Yeah, and, you know, like with the 2018 ball tampering stuff as well, David Warner and Steve Smith still get a crack at the team, and unfortunately a younger player like Cameron Bancroft, who was the one caught on TV, he's the one who suffers for his involvement. He hasn't been in the team since, I don't think. So, it's just Australian cricket.
Now, tell me this. Tennis over here. I've got my Quinella worked out. for the male and the female side. I like Djokovic. I think he'll come back. I think he'll come back, and I think he'll win the Australian Open. But my favourite little tennis player is Naomi Osaka. I think she's just such a wonderful player. I think she'll go top. I think she'll beat Serena Williams and the rest of them. But I do like Naomi Osaka. But she's so dedicated, isn't she? And what a hero she is in Japan. I mean, they just love her, don't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, she's at the top of her game, so I'm not surprised that they're, you know, big fans.
I was tipped to her 2 years ago by a tennis expert, and he's been tennis for his life. He said she's going to be the best in the world. So it looks like he might be on the right track. Now, just the last one, it's a little bit at the moment up in the air, and it's debatable, but the business with the Coon cheese.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I couldn't give two rats what a cheese company does with its name.
nor could I.
And so, like, I understand why they've changed the name, and, you know, it's within their right as a company to do what they want with their own name. I don't understand why it's gotten people, you know, rustled so many feathers. It's just a change of name of a company, of a brand. So, yeah, there's way too much talk on the radio, on the TV this week about cheese. It's just, I don't think it's deserving.
what do we say about media? It's that there's a lot of gutter politics in media. Mm. A lot of gutter politics. But, you know, I was talking to a guy last night. We were at a dinner last night, and he was an American guy. He said, what are we going to call the raccoons?
Yeah, well, I mean, raccoons are like a completely different thing.
Yeah. But, I mean, you just go in and you don't usually ask for the cheese. You usually just pick it up out of the don't you? And put it up on the... And I've never ever asked for that cheese. This political correctness and all that. Get on with saving the world and get on with this virus and get on with getting people well again and don't worry about all this other junk. And I call it junk because it is junk. And get on with our lives and save people's lives and do something positive. This, in my opinion, this is all negative stuff. Yeah.
I mean, like, because, a cheese company is not going to, you know, do anything in particular to stop the virus or whatever. So they can, you know, in the meantime, do whatever they do to run their business. I think people should probably stop focusing so much on what the cheese company is doing and probably start focusing on what's going on in their own lives.
Interesting one this morning in the paper, in Tech Talk, in the advertiser this morning, and someone wrote in, Strop from West Lakes, I cannot believe the insanity of changing the name of Coon cheese. It was named after the man who invented the process for making that type of cheese, for heaven's sake. So the browns, blacks and the whites should all change their names.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, their names, from Jonathan Black.
Right. No, I mean, like, it's... I know, like, the origin of the name is, you know, for someone's name, but it's a decision that the company's made for itself that has no bearing on any person in particular. It's just, you know, they've made that decision to you know, even if people don't know the origin of the name, there's just that connotation that comes along with it, and so they've made that decision for themselves. And it really, I really don't understand why people have a problem with that.
No, nor do I. I don't know. And the guy, his name was Coon. So, I mean, there's a rental car company too that's called Let's Rent a Car, and it's spelled L-E-T-Z. So I might ring him up and tell him to change.
Yeah, well, maybe just sue for brand infringement.
I don't think I'll go down that path. But there are some small-minded people out there that get on to anything that they can pick up, they'll pick it up. Anyway, let's get on to the racing because there's so much in the world at the moment, doom and gloom, and we'll try and get some winners if we can. You know, we've had a few jockeys got injured lately, and young Tegan Buren broke her leg before we finished the program, I think, last week. And there's a young girl, Libby Halliday, broke her ankle last week down the southeast. So there's two young girls that got hurt. Fortunately, this week, There were two falls that the jockeys didn't get injured. Paul Gatt had a fall and Jason Holder had a fall, and they're okay. So that's a bonus for us. But young Vorham, she'll be out for a while. It'll be Halliday. So they're both off the scene. The tips tomorrow, we'll go through them and see if we can get some winners in. No long prices. I don't like any at good odds tomorrow much, Jordan, because there's a lot of horses, I think, that are, you know, only $3 or $4 chances that can win tomorrow. But we'll start here in at Murray Bridge, and in race one, this horse is only about $2.25. Horse called Don't Dream, it's over. It's only about $2.25. In race two, number three, I like Serious Spenders, about $3.60. We'll get out to about $4. Race three, I like number five here, Daily Spirits, about $5 chance. Race four, I like number three here, Vestiture, it's about $5. Race six, I like number two, race five, number two, Pindaric. This will run pretty short, about $2.80. In race seven, I like one here, a little bit of odds, a horse called Angaston, trained by former jockey John O'Connor. It's about a $13 chance. That's my best roughy for the day. Race 7, number 11. Race 8, I like number 2, the Mobot. It's about a $5 chance. Race 9, I like number 8, which is called a Hint of Mint. And these last two horses are actually horses that are they're interstate visitors. And you know what the record's like with the interstaters. Their percentage is pretty good with winners, runners to winners. In Melbourne, I like in race 1, I do like number 3. I think Jamie Carr will have a good day tomorrow. She's riding well in Melbourne. She's at the top of her game. She's riding against the best jockeys in the land. And at the moment, she's 11 wins clear of Damien Oliver. Now, that is a fantastic effort. In race one, I like number two to be ridden by Jamie Carr, horse called Parlophone. It's about $3. Race two, I like number four, Jamie again. It's about a $3 chance, Hazel Toff. Race three, I like number four, Absolute Flirt, which is about $3. Race 4, I like number 1, Neves, Damien Oliver again, it's about $5. Race 5, number 3, I like Overexposure, to be ridden by Damien Lane, a very good jockey. It's about a $3 chance. Race 5, I like, I like number 6, horse called Viral. This horse was scratched last week, Danny O'Sullivan scratched it, it was about $5. I like it, race 6, number 6. Race 7, I like number 2, Prezzato, about $5. Race 8, I like number 5, Re-Edit, was scratched the other day. I don't know why, whether it was an injury or not, but Damien Oliver on it tomorrow. Race 8, number 5, it's got a little bit of odds. It's about an $8 chance. And in the last, I like number 10. Race 9, number 10, is a horse called Albuquerque. It's about $6.50 to be in young Lockie King. So we'll go through them quickly. Jordan, Adelaide, I like race 1, number 5, race 2, number 3, race 3, number 5, race 4, number 3, race 5, number 2, race 6, number 2, race 7, number 11, race 8, number 2, race 9, number 8. Straight over to Flemington we go, race 1, number 2, race 2, number 4, race 3, number 4, race 4, number 1, race 5, number 3, race 6, number 6, race 7, number 2, race 8, number 5, and race 9, number 10. And that's about how I see it tomorrow. There's no real good odds. A couple of roughies there, but looks a day. Could be a day for favourites tomorrow, I think, Jordan.
No worries. Well, John, thank you so much for joining me for the first time in 2021.
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully it's a really good year this year, mate. Just look, get this virus out the way and let's get back on track, yeah. With our lives.
I don't want to jinx it, but it can't get any worse.
Well, the exact words are that exactly right because, we don't know. We just hope, hey?
Yeah. Well, John, we'll talk again next week. That was John Letts, my horse racing expert on your Classic It's Breakfast.